So this is going to be a very, very thorough Bible study. I'm not going to spend much time for you to basically flip through the passages. If you do want the text, if you do want the Bible verses, I'm more than happy to send it your way. So if you want to contact the church, give me your email address or whatever way, other way, you know, I'm happy to send you notes so you can do your own study at your own pace in your own time. But look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." So we're talking about, of course, the ascension of Christ after his resurrection. But notice what it says in verse number 3. It says, "To whom also he showed himself alive." So he showed himself alive after Christ's resurrection. He went showing himself amongst other people that he was alive after his passion. That's after his crucifixion. Look at this. "By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So after Christ's resurrection from the dead, for the next 40 days, he would show himself to different disciples. And the Bible says these are many infallible proofs. The title for the sermon tonight is Many Infallible Proofs. Now, can you please, you don't need to stay there in Acts anymore, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As I said, I'm not going to have the time to allow you to flick through the different passages, but I would recommend, if you want to get the most verses, if you possibly can, I would recommend have one finger in 1 Corinthians 15 and another finger or a bookmark or something in the book of John. Now, I do have other references, but I'm going to get most of my verses from these two books, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the book of John. Now, if we look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 13, 1 Corinthians 15, 13, why are these many infallible proofs? Why is the resurrection of Christ so important? Verse number 13 says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." You know what the Bible's saying here? If Christ did not resurrect from the dead, what I'm doing right now, preaching God's word, it's in vain. It's empty. It's worthless. It's not going to help you if Christ did not rise from the dead. And your faith is also in vain. Your faith in Christ is meaningless unless Christ resurrected from the dead. Look at verse number 15. "Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Now notice the next verse, 17, this is the most important part. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." So if we did not have the crucifixion of Christ, you know, even if Christ bore all our sins on his body, but he remained dead, we would still be in our sins. You know, the victory over sin had not yet been completed until he resurrected from the dead. This is why it's so important that we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're dead in your sins. You know what's interesting here? It says in verse number 15, if he did not rise from the dead, we would be false witnesses. Now, there's a cult out there called the Jehovah Witnesses, and they, you know, they don't believe that Christ rose from the dead. They'll say, well, he just rose spiritually. It wasn't a bodily resurrection. You can check that for yourself. They don't believe. They call themselves Jehovah Witnesses, but what they truly are, in accordance to this passage, are Jehovah false witnesses. Okay, false witnesses, because they deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a fundamental truth of the Christian faith. You don't have the resurrection, you don't have Christianity, okay? And you're dead in your sins. You're not saved if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, we're going to be focused between John and 1 Corinthians 15. So again, keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 15. Go to John chapter 2, verse 19, please. John chapter 2, verse number 19. Why else is the resurrection so important? John chapter 2, verse number 19. Because we put our faith in Christ. We put our faith upon Christ's words. We put our faith upon Christ's works. And of course, his death, burial, and resurrection. And what did Christ say here in John 2:19? "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Christ here, of course, speaking about his body. It says in verse number 20, "Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body." Christ prophesied that if his body was to perish, that in 3 days he'll be risen from the dead. And so this is a prophecy. This is a promise. These are the words of Christ. And if he did not rise from the dead, okay, talking about his body, then your faith would be in someone that did not accomplish what he said. Christ would not have fulfilled what he had spoken. And then how can we put our faith upon someone that did not rise from the dead, whose own words testify against him? And so once again, Christ said, no, he's speaking about his body that's going to be risen, which is why Jehovah Witnesses is a false religion, a cult, okay, that is not even close to Christianity. But back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, let's just start here. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So we're saved by this gospel, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, we already saw what that believe in vain is. It's not believing that he rose from the dead. But I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Yes, that's true. Okay, that's part of the gospel. And then we have verse number 3. And that he was buried. Okay, that's the next part of the gospel. And that he rose again the third day. This is the third part of the gospel. The third day according to the scriptures. And so when we talk about preaching the gospel or believing the gospel, what we're believing is this, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. But notice what it says now here. It says in verse number 5, now we have these infallible proofs. Now we have this time where Christ will come and show himself as a resurrected Savior, the resurrected Lord, to his disciples. It says in verse number 5, and that he was seen of Cephas. Who's Cephas? You guys know? Peter. Okay, Cephas. Then of the 12. Notice that Paul is giving us an order or a chronology of people who saw him. When did they see him? Who saw him afterwards? This is not just some random order. This is a proper order here that Paul is giving us. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Okay, after that, so notice it's the chronology, the order. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James. So that's the fourth one there. Then of all the apostles, there's the fifth one there. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. So Paul saw him as one born out of due time. So we have six there. We have six appearances of Christ that are mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let me just quickly say, those are not the only times where Christ showed himself as a resurrected body, okay? But those six times that Paul has listed for us are correct. They did take place, and they did take place in that order, but as I said, there were other times where Christ appeared to his disciples. Now, why is this important? Once again, because our faith is based upon this, upon his resurrection. And I remember earlier in my Christian life, when I was like a teenager, even my early 20s, I was trying to piece together, you know, the appearances of Christ after his resurrection. And I really struggled. And I found some difficulties of, you know, looking at the different Gospels, looking at the book of Acts, looking at 1 Corinthians, and piecing it together. Well, I've pieced it together now. But when I would look online for some help, I also found that this is, the chronology of his appearances is one thing the atheists or the, you know, God deniers use as well to claim there's some type of contradiction in the scriptures. And so I want to cover some of that today. Maybe you've been faced with that thought. Maybe there, you know, some people have said there's contradictions in the scriptures. Well, there isn't. You know, once you look at all the passages together, it's consistent, it's perfect. You know, it's better than perfect, in fact, okay? So let's go back to John chapter 20, verse number 1. John chapter 20, verse number 1. Let's remember what took place in the morning of the resurrection, which was the first day of the week. John chapter 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now, if you watch, I don't know if you've ever seen some of those Hollywood productions of Jesus and his resurrection, the ones I do remember seeing Mary Magdalene, okay, come alone to see the sepulchre of Christ, to see the grave of Christ. But what you learn here, and I guess they take this here from the book of John, because Mary Magdalene is mentioned here, but when we do further study, Mary Magdalene did not come alone. In fact, she came with many other women, okay? But John just sees a fit to reference Mary Magdalene. It's kind of like, you know, if we were in church and someone wrote, you know, I saw Pastor Kevin enter the church, that would be correct. And then someone else wrote, where I saw the Sepulveda family enter the church. Say, well, hold on. One said the Sepulveda family, and one said I saw Pastor Kevin. Is that a contradiction? No. They're just detailing different things. And so, you know, so what you'll find when you look at all the different Gospels, sometimes they just focus on different details of the resurrection of Christ. And here we're focused upon Mary Magdalene, okay? Now, she comes to the grave, the stone is rolled away from the sepulchre, so she's alarmed, right? She's alarmed and she needs to let people know. Look at verse number 2. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. Now, as I told you, Mary's not alone. She's come with other women, but she alone ran. The other women stayed, and I'll prove that to you later. The other women stayed at the sepulchre, but Mary Magdalene runs alone looking for Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John speaking about himself. So she's gone to find Peter and John and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And look, this proves that she's not alone. And we know not where they have hid him. So she referenced we. So she is with other ladies here. Now, let me just show you some of the other ladies that she's with. I'm going to read to you from Luke 24:1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, again plural, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, I do believe I don't believe Mary Magdalene saw these two angels in the shining garments. I believe she already took off and ran to find Peter and John. But the other ladies stayed behind and they saw these two angels in shining garments. Now, let me just show you some other passages here. Matthew 28, verse number 1 says, and in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, which we know that, came Mary Magdalene. Then it says, and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Okay, so we know that another woman that she was with was another Mary. Mary was a common name in that time. You might say, who was that other Mary? Well, Mark chapter 16, verse number 1 says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James. That's Mary, okay? Mother of James. And Salome, we have another name there, another lady. And Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. You notice how if we start putting all these Gospels together, it starts to formulate a picture of all the people that were there. And I'm also going to read to you from Luke 23, verse number 55, because it wasn't just these three ladies, there was many more. It says, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee. So when Christ, you know, came into Jerusalem, there were others following him, other disciples coming from Galilee. Well, all the women that were disciples, followers, you know, listening to Christ's teaching that came from Galilee, they all came to the sepulchre. It says, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And then in Luke 24, verse 10, we have another name mentioned there. It says, it was Mary Magdalene. And then it says, and Joanna. Now we have another woman, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, who we've already seen, and other women, right? So there's again the plurality, that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So I just want to show you, you know, when we look at Christ's appearances after his resurrection, his first appearance is the hardest one to work out, okay? Because we have all these different events that take place on the very early hours of the morning when Christ rose from the dead. But I want you to, again, get into your mind what took place. Mary Magdalene, a whole bunch of ladies from Galilee, you know, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, those are the names that we know, they all turn up to anoint the body of Christ. They notice that the stone is rolled away. Mary, you know, freaks out. She goes, she runs off, she looks for Peter and John. The other women stay there, and two angels appear to those women. Okay, I hope you're following that right now. So let's just remember now, Mary's running off to find Peter and John. So you should be in John. Look at John chapter 20, verse number 3. John 20, verse number 3. Let's see what took place when Mary Magdalene found Peter and John. Verse number 3 says, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, again that's John, and came to the sepulchre. So these guys run, okay? And they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, so John's a faster runner than Peter, I guess, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and see if the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. So they believed in Christ. This is it. Christ said he's going to rise from the dead. Here it is. It says in verse number 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So I want you to notice that the men, Peter and John, did not see Christ. Okay, they went to the sepulchre, it's empty, they go back home. All right, now, look at verse number 11, please. Let's keep going. The first person to see the resurrected Christ is Mary Magdalene. Okay, and I'll show you soon. Christ appears to Mary on her own in these early hours, and then he also appears to the other group of women. Okay, it's the ladies. So I don't want any ladies to feel like they're not important to God. Okay. In fact, it was the ladies that got to see the resurrected Christ first. Praise God. You know, what an honor. But, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit confusing. Did Christ appear to the group of ladies or Mary Magdalene first? Which of these? Okay. Well, I put it to you that the first one was Mary Magdalene, and I'll explain to you why. Look at John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. So Peter and John have already headed back home. Mary stays at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting. So now she sees the two angels. Remember, the other women saw them before, but now she sees them. And the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? I don't know what, you know, Christ, I don't know if he's a little bit sarcastic, they're having a joke, right? I mean, of course she's looking for him. Why, you know, whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So I want you to notice that Christ appears to Mary, and I'll prove to you soon why she's the first. But notice that Jesus says, don't touch me. Okay, why? Because he's not yet ascended to the Father. And then he tells Mary, go and tell them that I'm going to ascend to the Father. Okay, look at verse number 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. All right, so we have the appearance of Christ to Mary Magdalene. And remember, Christ says, don't touch me. Okay, don't touch me because I'm not yet ascended to the Father. All right, now I'm going to read to you from Matthew 28 and verse number 8. Matthew 28, verse number 8. Now we're addressing the other ladies. Okay, so we have the other group of women. They stayed at the sepulchre. Mary runs off to find Peter and John. And I assume at this point, the other ladies have gone to find the other disciples because they're not in the picture here with Mary Magdalene and Christ the first time. But Matthew 28, verse 8 says, and they departed quickly. That's the ladies. After they saw the vision of the angels. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came, now look at this, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. All right, so notice that. Christ appears to the group of the ladies, or you know, the other ladies that are there, and he allows them to come and worship him. In fact, they come and hold his feet. They come and touch his feet. Now, Mary Magdalene was not allowed to touch his feet. Why? Because he had not yet ascended to the Father. Okay? Now, if Christ is allowing them to touch him, what took place? Christ must have ascended up to the Father, where now it didn't matter. He's come back, okay? And we'll soon see why he ascended to the Father. We'll understand all that later. And the ladies are allowed to there worship him and touch him by his feet. The other commandment that he tells them, go to my brethren, that they go into Galilee. We'll soon see later on why they have to go to Galilee. And there they shall see me, because one of Christ's appearances will be in Galilee. So, the first appearance of Christ was to Mary Magdalene. Okay, before he sent it to the Father, then he did that, he comes back, he shows himself to the larger group of ladies on their way to talk to the disciples, and he allows them to worship him. So the second appearance is to the larger group of women. That's Mary, you know, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and whoever else that was in that group. All right. Now, I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 9. You might be saying, why did Christ have to ascend to the Father? You know, this all took place, I guess, very quickly. But we learn about this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, which says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building." You see, Christ in heaven, God in heaven, has a tabernacle. Now, the Old Testament tabernacle was in place before the temple. And that was the place where they had the Ark of the Covenant. That's where they would do the sacrifices. And of course, the blood of the bulls and the goats and the sheep were sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Okay? Now, again, those sacrifices were just a picture of Jesus Christ. What we learn here, there is another tabernacle, not on the earth, but a tabernacle in heaven. Okay? Not made with hands. It's not made by man. It's made by God. Okay? So, it's wonderful because we learn the pictures of the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of a greater truth. And then it says in verse number 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves." So that tabernacle in heaven was not sprinkled by the blood of goats and calves. It says, "But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And so this process after Christ's resurrection, he would go back to heaven, to the Father. He would take his blood, okay? And that blood would be sprinkled upon in the holy place, okay? It would be sprinkled there, and that would be the eternal redemption for us. Christ's blood is still in heaven. Christ's blood is still showing that he has redeemed us from all our sins, okay? So that's the picture there. Once Christ did that job, then he returned to the earth, met the other larger group of ladies, and they were able to worship him and touch his feet. All right, so now we have number one, number two. That's the most complicated ones. The other ones are pretty easy to put together, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, you may recall that order that was there. Mary Magdalene was not mentioned, neither is that group of ladies mentioned. Again, is that a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Once I just said to you that our authors will focus on different groups of people at different times, okay? But everything, when you put it all together, it is perfectly consistent. When you look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, it says, "And that he was seen of Cephas." Again, who was Cephas? Peter. So the third person that saw Jesus Christ resurrected was Cephas, was Peter, okay? Now, here's what's interesting. We don't have any other references in the Bible that tell us a story of Christ appearing to Peter alone. We don't have that anywhere else except in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, that's true because all the Bible is the Word of God. It's just for whatever reason, God did not see fit to contain that story in any of the Gospels. Okay? Now, let's see what the fourth group is. I want, for the men that are here, my live stream team, I want you to start putting it together in your brains. If we have time, we'll do a bit of a trivia to see if you guys can work out the appearances from start to finish. All right? So, a bit of a test afterwards. Okay? Okay. Now, Luke 24:13, I'll just read it to you. We have the fourth group of people that Christ appears to. In Luke 24, verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them," so it's actually two disciples, "two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And then I'm going to read verse number 18. It says, "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas," so we know one of the names of these two, one is Cleopas, "answering, said unto him," that's unto Jesus, because Jesus appears to them. You might know the story, that Christ appears to them, but they don't realize it's Jesus. It's kind of like Mary Magdalene, you know, doesn't realize that Christ is Jesus Christ. She believes it's the gardener, right? And then he says, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which have come to pass there in these days?" Because Christ is wondering, hey, what's going on? Why are you guys downcast? They were downcast because Christ had been crucified. They did not know that Christ was resurrected. And so Christ is coming and asking that question. And they're saying, don't you know what's taking place? And this was the big news across Jerusalem, the crucifixion of the Messiah. And then it says in verse number 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Okay? So the fourth appearance of Jesus Christ, bodily resurrected appearance of Christ, was to the two traveling to Emmaus, and one of those is Cleopas. Okay? That's the fourth group. Now I'm going to keep reading in verse number 32. So after this takes place, after they see Christ, and then they realize it's Christ, he's resurrected, he vanishes. Well, it says in verse number 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. So they go and find the 11 disciples. Christ has not yet appeared to the disciples, right? He's appeared to Peter, we already know that, but to the group of the disciples, he hasn't appeared to them yet. They found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, now notice the next words that I'm going to read, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, because they saw the Lord, and then they say, and hath appeared to Simon. Who's Simon? Peter, it's another name, right? Peter, Cephas, Simon, Peter, Cephas, it's all the one guy. And what are they saying? They say, the Lord is risen indeed. We saw the Lord and have appeared to Simon. So we have the order correct because we said that the Lord had already appeared to Simon. Even though we don't have the story that took place, we have a second confirmation here that he had appeared to Simon Peter. Okay, so the fourth appearance of Christ is to the two traveling to Emmaus. Now, I'm going to keep reading verse number 35. Luke 24, 35, it says, and they told what things were done in the way, and that he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So they're saying, we saw Christ, and they go to the disciples and they tell them, and then Christ appears. So they see Christ again. They see Christ again, but with all the other apostles, okay, with the 11. And so the fifth appearance of Christ is to the apostles. Now, if you remember the story, Thomas was not there. Remember doubting Thomas? He was not there that first time. So this is Christ's fifth appearance, resurrected appearance, but it's the first appearance to the apostles as a larger group. Now, I want you to remember that. Even though it's the fifth appearance, it's the first appearance to the larger group of the apostles. You need to remember that, okay? Because this is where, Christ haters would point that there are contradictions in the Bible. All right. It says in verse number 37, and they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now, this is important, okay? They thought, man, we're seeing a spirit, we're seeing a ghost. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He goes, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He says, handle me and see. He says, touch me. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Again, the Jehovah false witnesses, they claim that it wasn't a bodily resurrection. You know what they say about this? Even though it's so clear, God, Christ is saying, I'm flesh and bone. Touch me, handle me. You know what they say? They kind of like borrowed a body and then went back into the spirit form. Okay? Why? Because they're not saved. Why? Because they're wicked people. Okay? False prophets. False witnesses. Yep. But I want you to notice there that the fifth appearance is the apostles without Thomas. But it's the first appearance to the apostles as a group. Now, you're probably still in John, so look at John chapter 20 and verse number 24. John chapter 20 and verse number 24. So this is talking about the same event that we just read in Luke. But in John 20, 24, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Okay. So we've seen five appearances of Christ, and all these five appearances are on the same day of his resurrection. Okay, so all these five, same day, from the early morning, the ladies, and then he's appeared himself, and at the end of the day, he's appeared to the apostles as a whole. But Thomas was not there. All right, now look at verse number 26, John 20, 26. So Christ's next appearance, it says here, and after 8 days again, so 8 days go by, and then Christ appears once again. And after 8 days again, his disciples again, those are the apostles, were within, and Thomas with them. Now Thomas is with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So now we have the sixth appearance of Christ. And the sixth appearance is to the apostles with Thomas, right? The fifth appearance was with the apostles without Thomas. The sixth appearance is the apostles with Thomas, which is also the second appearance to the apostles as a group. Okay? Hope you're following along so far. Okay? Sixth appearance, but second appearance to the apostles as a group. Now look at John 21, please. John 21, verse number 1. I hope you're enjoying the Bible study. I know it's a lot to take in, And I like the Bible study from time to time, you know, just to dig in deep into the scriptures and try to put it all together. And then, you know, if anyone mocks, you know, these appearances of Christ, you know, hopefully you study it out and you've got the answers and you can, you know, knock back those foolish thoughts. But John 21, verse number 1 says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showeth he himself." So who's the appearance now? Again, the disciples. Which disciples? The apostles, because he's doing that again. This is going to be Christ's third appearance to the apostles as a group. It says in verse number 2, "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples." So you can see it's the group of the apostles there. Verse number 3, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that he was Jesus. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved," that's John, "saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." So we have the seventh appearance of Christ, okay? This time when the apostles are fishing, all right? And what is this also? This is also the third appearance of Christ to the apostles as a group. Why do I keep saying this? The first appearance as a group. The second appearance to the apostles as a group. Now the third appearance. Okay? This is why. Because if you look at verse number 14, drop down to verse number 14. It says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead." So people will look at this. They look at this passage here, of Christ appearing to his disciples that are fishing, and say, well, the Bible says this is the third time. And they'll say, but there are other passages, other times where Christ has appeared. In fact, this is Christ's seventh appearance. And yeah, you know what? If you haven't thought it through, you're going to be like, yeah, I mean, I read other seven appearances there. And the Bible's now saying this is the third time. And you could think it's a contradiction. But notice the third time is to a specific group, the group of his apostles. The Bible is perfectly consistent here. Okay, there's, you know, it's God's word. How can there be any contradictions? You know, when people claim there are contradictions, it just shows how stupid they are. That's it, okay? And even if you don't have an answer to the so-called contradiction, they're still stupid, okay? It just requires time and effort and Bible study, the Holy Spirit of God guiding you to show you how to put it all together. I'm going to read to you from Matthew 28, verse number 16 now. Remember when Christ appeared the second time to the group of ladies, he told the ladies, tell the disciples to go to Galilee and that he'll show himself to them. Remember that one? Well, now we're going to read about that event. Matthew 28, verse number 16. Matthew 28, verse number 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee." Why? Because the ladies, right? See, Christ has use for the ladies, you know. He's given them clear instructions, tell the disciples, and what they did. And now the disciples are listening to what was said by Christ. They went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Christ had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power," and this is Christ given the Great Commission, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So this is one time where Christ gives the Great Commission. This is not the mount when Christ ascended to heaven. This is not it yet, okay? The mount, when Christ ascended to heaven, that was the Mount of Olives. That's in Jerusalem. This is in Galilee, okay? This is a separate mount, okay? And we can see that, you know, the 11 disciples were there, but so were other people. So were other disciples that had followed the instruction to go and see Christ. In fact, we get told the number of disciples that went to see Christ. And that's not found in the book of Matthew, but it is found in 1 Corinthians 15. So if you got 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 6, it says, "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." So when did Christ appear to 500 brethren at once? It was here in Galilee, in the mount there. The mount in Galilee, okay, and they saw him. It was the five, at least over, okay, above. Over 500 brethren at once saw Jesus Christ. So we can understand why the message of Christ was so powerful. Why, you know, 2,000 years later, we're still worshiping Christ. We still love Christ. We're still preaching his gospel because we had all these witnesses who saw Christ who said, you know what? I'm willing to die for Christ. I saw him. I saw the resurrected Christ. Many infallible proofs we've received. We've seen him to the point that they were so committed at what they had witnessed, they were willing to lay down their lives to preach the gospel and spread it across the world. You know, praise God for that. And you know what? What are we doing when we preach the gospel? We're witnessing Christ as well. We're going forth preaching the same message that these other disciples saw. All right, so the eighth appearance of Christ is when the over 500 disciples saw him in the mount in Galilee. All right, now you're still there in 1 Corinthians 15, I think. Look at verse number 7. We get the next one. It says, after that, he was seen of James. And again, this is kind of like the Peter situation. That's all we know. In fact, the Peter situation had more because the other two disciples confirmed that Peter had seen him. But this is all we have, okay? After that, he was seen of James. So the ninth appearance of Christ after his resurrection is to James and James alone. Look at the second part of verse number 7. And then it says, then to all the apostles. So please go to, oh, you don't have to go there. I'll just quickly read to you if you can, if you want. But Acts chapter 1, verse number 7. Acts 1:7. This is when Christ ascended to heaven. This is when he was in the Mount of Olives. Okay, it says again. Then of all the apostles, when all the apostles went to the Mount of Olives and saw Christ ascend up to heaven. In verse number 7, it says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Christ once again given the Great Commission, this time just before he ascends up to heaven. Verse number 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So we have the two angels appear once again. So the 10th appearance, brethren, of Christ was Christ's ascension from the Mount of Olives. Okay, so we've got 10 so far. Now, we're near the end. We're near the end, but we've got 10. And there's a total of 12 appearances of Christ after his resurrection. Now, some argue 13, but it's 12, and I'll show to you why soon and who they were, okay? But 1 Corinthians, sorry, let me just make sure I've got... Oh, yeah, okay. Acts chapter 7, sorry about that. So the next appearance is found in Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. And you may recall the story of Stephen. Stephen, one of those first deacons. And he's the first martyr, the first Christian martyr as well. In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was instrumental in participating in the death of Stephen. But it says in Acts 7:54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart when they heard the preaching of Stephen. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So before Stephen dies, he sees Jesus Christ standing there at the right hand side of God. So there's another time where someone else has seen the resurrected Christ, and this is after Christ ascended to heaven. Okay, so the 11th appearance is to Stephen. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, when we look at the order that Paul has for us in that chapter, it says, and last of all, he was seen of me, who? Paul, of me also, as one born out of due time. Who's the last to see the resurrected Christ? Paul, okay? Have you ever had someone say to you, I've seen Jesus. I've had a vision. I saw him. I've had that. You know, we go door-to-door soul winning. I've had that said many times, okay? On the Sunshine Coast, there's a lot of charismatics, a lot of Pentecostals, And they've all seen Jesus, apparently, okay? Not according to the Bible, according to the Bible. And last of all, no one else, this is the last, okay? He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. You know, he considered himself out of due time, like Stephen, okay? These were visions or appearances of Christ, not visions, appearances, literal appearances of Christ after his ascension to the Father, which is why he refers to himself as one born out of due time. So the 12th appearance of Christ is to the Apostle Paul. And I'll quickly read to you when that takes place in Acts 9:3. This is before he was saved, when he was persecuting the church and his name was Saul. It says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, verse number 7 proves this is not just some vision, okay? Paul saw him in his body, okay? Paul was physically in his body. This isn't some spiritual vision, because it says in verse number 7, and the men which journeyed with Paul, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So this literally took place. This physically took place. They heard the voice, but they didn't see anything. But Paul saw the resurrected Christ as one born out of due time. So the 12th appearance of Christ is to the Apostle Paul, and he's the last. Okay, that's very clear. Okay, someone says to you, I've seen Jesus. Jesus appeared to me. You know, it was a devil. Okay, that's what they saw. They saw, or they're just lying to you and they're making it up. Okay, Christ, when are we going to see Christ? When all eyes shall see him, okay? When he returns, when he comes back in the clouds at the time of the resurrection, at the rapture, okay? Now, some people say, well, there is a 13th, okay? And they consider the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. You might know that story of John, where he was speaking to Christ, and Christ tells him to write the book of Revelation for the seven churches of that time. Well, this is why it's not counted, because in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. You know, of course, that's Jesus Christ speaking. But notice what John says. You know, he wasn't in his physical body when he saw this, when he heard the voice of Christ, and when he saw him. No, he says, no, I was in the Spirit, okay? So what John experiences in the book of Revelation, his body is still on the earth, but spiritually God has transported him into heaven, and there he is communicating with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's the 12. There's the 12 appearances of Christ after his resurrection. And again, if you go through 1 Corinthians 15, you look at all the other passages, they're perfect. They align perfectly. And, you know, I would expect that. Why? Because the Bible is written by God. It's God's word. Amen. You know, if we were having church service, I've used this illustration before, I think, but if we were having church service and we had different families coming at different times, right? And then, you know, there's four of us here in this room right now. Let's say my name's Matthew, right? Matthew, Mark, you know, Luke and John, right? And we're going to write now about the events of who walked into the church building, like who was first and which family was second and who was third, you know, and we're all there together. I guarantee you, if we were to write that, like after everyone turns up to church, there's going to be inconsistencies. I guarantee you. I guarantee you we're going to be like, no, that family came first, and we're just not going to be sure. You know what? We've got these things written for us, okay? By some that were eyewitnesses of Christ, others that were not. And they're compiling the stories together. We have Paul, who gets saved long after Christ was already ascended up to heaven. And we put all these things together, and guess what? They're perfectly consistent, okay? Perfectly compatible. Why? Because it's the Word of God, that's why. I know we say turn to the book of John, turn to, you know, that book, but really when we turn to all these books, we're just turning to God's Word, okay? God is the author of His Word. And so, you know, we started with that passage there in Acts chapter 1, which said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. You know what? And when we do the research, when we do the study, it truly is infallible. Okay, it is perfect, you know. And this should give you further confirmation. If you're already kind of struggling a little bit in the Bible, this should just further reinforce, you know, strengthen your faith in the Word of God, you know, in His resurrection. And it should give us that boldness to be able to go there and be witnesses of Christ's resurrection, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, now what time is it? 8 o'clock. Okay, we're good with time. All right, now with the men that are here. And if you're online, I guess you can participate, okay? Now let's try to work out from 1 to 12, okay, the order of Christ's appearance. All right, I'm not sure how you guys are going to go, but let's see. All right, now any the guys that are here for the live stream dream team, all right, let me see. We'll see how good they are. We'll see if they really are the dream team. Maybe they're not. Okay, so guys, what was the first, who did Christ appear to first? And if you know the answer on YouTube and you feel like typing it in, please go ahead for a bit of fun. All right, Mary Magdalene, he did it right. Ramsden got it right. 1 point to Rams. All right, I'm not going to keep points. All right. But you know what? The thing online, there's like a 10-second delay. So anyway, I'm sure you guys can still participate, all right? All right, the second appearance of Christ, to whom was it?
Cleopas.
No, Tim said Cleopas. No.
Peter.
No, not Peter.
The other Mary
and all the other women. Yes, that's right. Remember Christ and Mary Magdalene could not touch him, but the other ladies could. Okay? So that was the second appearance. What was the third appearance?
Cleopas.
No.
Peter.
Cephas. All right, man. Did you guys pay attention? You know, one of the pastor's qualifications is apt to teach. I think I failed. All right, see how we're going. The fourth one. Okay. The fourth appearance of Christ. To whom? To the two men, yeah. The two traveling to Emmaus.
Cleopas
being one of those men. All right, extra points for the name. All right, maybe I did a good job. All right, the fifth appearance to?
Peter and John. No, Peter.
Where you said Peter, Tim?
No.
To the apostles without Thomas. Remember the two, Cleopas, they were like, wow, we saw Christ. Then they ran to the apostles and they saw him again. But this, you know, without Thomas, that's right. So the apostles without Thomas, that's the fifth appearance. What's the sixth appearance?
Thomas.
The apostles with Thomas. Awesome. Tim got that right, by the way, for the online listeners. Tim's doing a good job. All right, the seventh appearance.
Apostles.
Yep, the apostles that were finishing. The third appearance of the apostles as a group. That was the seventh appearance of Christ. Which was the eighth appearance?
500 at the Mount.
Yep, to the over 500. Nah, that's good. 500 in the Mount of Galilee. That's the eighth appearance. The ninth. You might forget the ninth.
James.
Well, well done. Okay, yeah, so the ninth appearance was to James alone. The tenth appearance?
Paul.
Not Paul.
Stephen.
No, we did 500 already.
Stephen.
Nah, not Stephen. This probably one of the most important ones.
Yeah.
The ascension to heaven. When he ascended up to heaven on the Mount of Olives. That was the tenth appearance. The 11th appearance to Stephen, and the 12th,
Paul.
The Apostle Paul, and the 13th,
John.
All the charismatics, all the Pentecostals, the 11th appearance. Wrong. All right, brethren, I hope that was a help. I hope that helps you do a good Bible study. If you want my notes, if you want all these passages to do your own study in your own time, I know I went through this very quickly. Please contact me. I'm more than happy to send them your way. Let's pray.